A motley band of heroes set sail, bound for a new life in a lonely island outpost. Beneath the waves, the shattered bones of a long-dead civilization. Treasures beyond the dreams of avarice. Dangers beyond the realm of nightmares. A tale 10,000 years in the making. This is the Raiders of the Lost Continent.
Well, spring has sprung here in New York City, and I presume in many other parts of the Northern Hemisphere. I like spring. Do you guys like spring? Do you have an affinity for spring like I do?
Mm-hmm. I love it. Love it! I mean, fall's my favorite, but I love spring. When it starts creeping towards 70, I just get happy. It's just amazing.
Great jacket weather.
Yeah, if you have any cool jackets, now's the time to break them out.
Or maybe a light zip-up hoodie.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. Some of which are available on the store, maybe, at this point.
You know, they're back in stock.
Yeah.
The thing about spring, though, is it seems like it wants to kill me. The fall doesn't really want to kill me, but the spring wants to, you know, overwhelm
me. Spring
will
trick you. Spring tricks you in a way that fall doesn't trick you. I like spring and fall, but you can walk outside. It's like, oh, it's sunny and livable, it seems like. And you walk outside and it's just like, oh, no, it's just sunny and 28 degrees. And now I'm in the hospital overnight. But I love, man, I love, you know, a lot of us are baseball fans. I love baseball and I love the first month of baseball because the weather's insane. Very few people go, I love going to weekday games in April because there's nobody there. And it's all fresh and new. And everybody's batting average is either 800 or 43. My dad was at Kauffman Stadium and he got to see Nolan Ryan pitch one of his seven no-hitters that day. And it was in April, and he said the fun part of it was watching all the Royals' batting averages like drop down to almost nothing by the ninth inning.
That's cool,
but that's great. It's a good time of year. So spring has sprung, as I say. But you know what else has sprung? Bunch of people you thought you knew. In town here, they confronted you. You thought they were here to give you a hero's welcome, one of many that you've been receiving, but all of a sudden their attitude changed and their faces transformed into something you've never seen, this swimming morass, featureless, and they leapt at you.
I
never liked them.
have you ever been in a situation where you're in a bad mood? Like, this happened sometimes when I was high school, and like anything, any excuse to get angry, you would just go off on someone.
Sure.
I've been in that mood with these town folk for a long time.
Yeah.
So the fact they're giving me an excuse to unload the full power of a Drakeus power attack right on their fucking face makes me feel so happy.
Finally taking it too far.
Right. Yeah.
And the fact that we can use it as an excuse to declare war on the entire colony. Yes. Like, we can just say, clearly, we cannot trust anyone. The safest option for the company is that we murder all of you.
Yeah, so Skid, remind us, who is it that transformed? And who did not, and who is there that not transform?
There was a group of six of them. And there was...
six?
Taras, the three that you know, were Taras and Maya Bomar. Taras was the one who had the hunger strike that you were able to talk him out of, and his wife. And Alba Divinvar, like, you met her on the ship. Luther, like, had a conversation with her on the way over here. She was the herbalist. Then she was trying to close her shop, if you remember, and you out of her herbalist shop, and you... mostly Gavo talked her out of that. So, yeah, they are in this group of six people that are currently lunging at you.
And the other three, and the other three are people we saw around town?
Yeah, they're people that you've seen, but just nobody. Yeah,
they're just under fives.
Yeah, yeah. Day
players. Couple day things. One, I don't think it's got appreciated enough because we went off the air. One of the best improvised lines of all time. I think it was Matthew. It's like, oh, we were just going to dinner. And Skid replies, oh, what a coincidence. So were we. What a great fucking, like a scripted line because they're going to eat us. Amazing. It's like Hannibal Lecter at the end of Silence of the Lambs. I have an old friend for dinner. Oh my God, what a great line. Same thing. Secondly, then Matthew and I started bebopping and scatting as we were going off the air, like what these things are. And we mentioned doppelganger or faceless stalker. Now that you've said what you've said, Skid, I'm thinking these are faceless stalkers. Definitely. And I'm thinking we should run immediately if there's six of them. That's too many.
Like I have an experience that you guys have where I'm like, oh, I've run faceless stalkers. I don't want to fight them.
No. I take some comfort in the fact that Azura always, like in role-playing situations, walks 60 feet behind the group at all times. So that makes me feel a little better about the start of the encounter, at least.
You firmly established that, especially in the last battle when you went in second. That was a real great precedent setter.
Oh dear!
No! Have they always been like this, or like, did they come over on the boat like this, or while we were out effing around, did they transform? I don't know.
Are they next to an ankeg hole? One of the first things we kind of cleared out.
No, Grant is referring to the map on Roll 20. That represents a tree.
That's the hollow trunk of a tree.
Oh. Yeah, that is the trunk of a tree, and that green area sort of surrounding it in a radius, that represents its foliage.
Oh, so it appears spring has sprung on the island too.
It actually is April on the island.
So. Wow.
Wait, is that where Nico's buried? Is that a plum tree?
Is that the tree?
A bunch of housing development went up around the grave.
Can we dig up his corpse situation while we're here?
We're in town. We're not even on the outside.
No, you're in town. Yeah, you were heading towards the Pathfinder Society.
Carver Hastings.
You're heading towards Carver Hastings' house to have dinner. And yes, as you have madly circled on the map, somebody has Dick Sauce, as is labeled on the Roll 20.
It's Richard Sauce.
Ramona, the mayor, is with you now also.
Kill her!
Really?
What a shameless ploy to get a sympathy vote. Oh, I was in the battle with the heroes. I'm a hero too. Vote for me.
See, if we killed her in the battle, we could be like, see, she was one too!
Yeah, that's true!
Oh, hell, Mayor Drakeus!
And then, Drakeus, your path to the mayoral seat is set. No one will stand in your way.
This is dirtier than Baltimore politics right now. This is
just... rub some faceless stalker goo on her. She's on! Luckily, we stopped her before she fully transformed.
Oh, man. That didn't even occur to me, but that's a pretty good plan.
I shall now embrace the mayor's legacy and carry it forward. Comes Drakeus' his platform.
Oh, this looks terrifying, the way you have like six identical stalkers and they're all lanky and weird.
The artwork is like they're like human sausages, and then they have their shoulders up a little too high and their heads down a little too low, so they are walking like real freaking creepazoids. They look like a bunch of chewed up juicy fruit put into human form with long claws for fingers. It's awful, and just hollow sockets where their eyes should be.
Yeah, and just a little too big. The hollow sockets are just a little too big.
Yeah.
Is that like Pathfinder 2E art of them?
I don't know. I can't remember where I found it.
That's great.
It reminds me of something specific, and I can't remember. But yeah, they have extra long arms that end in these like massive, horrifying clawed hands. All pink and gooey and really scary. And you know what? Let's roll for initiative.
I am the arm.
Stop it. Stop doing that.
Oh God, I don't want to roll any of these dice.
Okay, let's start with the colonel.
19.
Oh, good roll.
Good start, Kearns.
All right. Azura.
Not quite as good as a 24, though.
What?
24.
Much better.
Coming in hot.
Gavoo.
Happy medium and a 21.
Oh,
dude.
Man, you guys are on top of things.
21 should never be called medium.
Well, between you and the colonel.
I understand. It's still a great initiative.
It's like you're the Papa Bear, and Troy was the baby bear, and I'm the just right bear. No, other way around. You know what I'm saying.
You're more of an otter.
Yeah. I was going to say exactly that. He's a little too small. And
good night, everybody.
Put together.
Really, this is not the first time this conversation has come up on a Glass Cannon show.
It won't be the last.
With alarming frequency, it seems to.
Just shocking that both Troy and Grant thought otter at the same time. What does that tell you?
Yeah, I know. My weight loss in Peloton crusade has just been on the road to twinkdom. That's what I've been going for this whole time.
you're multi-classing. All right, so Drakeus, speaking of whom, what is your initiative?
I got a good roll. I was excited with a little fist pump. 16 on the die for a 19 total. So not the best initiative bonus, but pretty good.
And you have a better bonus.
I'm at a plus Colonel 3, Luther. I think. Is that
better
than
a plus 3. You want to do a roll-off?
Oh, roll-off.
Oh, sweet.
Roll-off. Oh. Natural 20.
4.
Wow. Okay. So, Drakeus will go after the Colonel. And Ramona has rolled a 17.
I like
Dude,
that for
this
Luther.
This is a good start to this fight.
Yeah. This is, you guys did pretty well for yourselves here. Okay. All right. And to start off, it is Azura to kick it off.
Wow. All right. I'm going to start with, I want to roll a knowledge check on these guys. Okay. What is it? I don't know off the top of my head. Is it Arcana?
It would be Dungeoneering.
Donjon.
Eerie aberration.
That is a 23.
Mm.
Dungeoneering.
Okay, yeah, you would know that, in fact, these are faceless stalkers.
And do they, is it more likely that they've been here, like, all along, or that they just recently, like, took over these people's personalities or whatever? Like, I don't know how akin they are to doppelgangers.
You really don't know.
Okay.
You know that they have to feed with a certain frequency, and it has to be blood.
Okay.
And they actually, you make a perception check too while you're at it.
Okay. Quick perception, 20 even.
Okay. So with that combined with your knowledge of these creatures, they look like they're starving. They look sort of wan and weaker versions of themselves. It looks like they haven't probably eaten in a while. And so, yeah, you know that they have a blood drain attack, and they have some DR.
What gets through the DR?
DR is... maybe they don't have DR.
Oh.
Terrific.
Yeah. No, I guess they don't. Wait a minute. No, they do. Oh, piercing or slashing will penetrate their DR.
Piercing or slashing, does that cover all of us except Luther, or Luther, does your thing also do piercing?
No, I just bludgeon.
Just bludgeon.
So that's good for me, but...
What's that?
That's good for me.
No, it's bad for you.
It's bad for you.
Only piercing and slashing gets through
the DR.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's bad.
Okay. So Azura will call all this out as quickly as possible to everybody. Drakeus, Gavo. Yeah, your weapons will be more effective against them. Colonel, you're useless. Leave. And she will also say, they're weak. They're weakened. Now's the time to strike. And she's going to inspire courage. So everybody gets a plus 2 to attack and damage.
Okay.
And then are these houses climbable? Does it look like there's like an easy way to climb up to a roof?
Yeah, they're about like 15 feet up to the roof, yeah.
All right, I'd like to attempt it. I'd like to step one square and then try to start climbing up the house that's right next to me.
Okay. That would be a DC 15 climb check, I guess.
Okay. I'll do one attempt here. If it doesn't go 15, exactly.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And so she starts shimmying up. How tall is it, did you say?
It's a single-story house, so yeah, it's like 12, 15 feet.
Okay.
About 15 feet up the roof.
Okay, great. So she can move about 7 feet up. So okay. She can move halfway up.
Okay, you're halfway up. Yeah, it's just a rough, like, clapboard colonist house. And yeah, you start climbing.
Okay.
Okay. It is now Gavo's turn.
All right, Gavo. I'm assuming I don't have my cutlass out.
No, none of you should have your weapons out.
Yeah, that's why I just decided to start climbing, because our hands were already free. So
now we generally rule that you can draw your weapon as part of a move action.
Mm-hmm.
Does that count?
Only
for because
that is
only
rule.
Because that's the actual rule of the game.
Okay, we follow the rules.
In that one instance, we know that rule.
Does that extend to cover a 5-foot step?
Yes,
it does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gavo will draw his cutlass. All right, you want to cross some steel, huh?
Sorry. Let me clarify.
Oh, boy.
You can draw as part of a 5-foot step. You can take a 5-foot step and draw your weapon, but that is a move action then. So you've used a move action. It's not a free action to draw the weapon.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
But it would also not incur, right?
Right. But you wouldn't be able to do a full attack.
But I can do a full attack. All right, well, in that case, I will spend a point of panache to activate my precise strike deed, which will double my precision damage on this my extra precision damage if I hit.
Okay.
And I'll take a swing at this guy up at the front.
Okay. That was Alba. That was Alba Divinvar.
Oh, ooh. Alba.
That is a 27 to hit.
That is a hit.
Start, Gavo. Hey, was that a threat?
No, is it only a natural 12?
Okay. Wow. Nice.
Well, because of all the inspiration from the song, I have a pretty good to hit right now.
Right.
So that is going to be 18 points of slashing damage.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Okay, that all cuts through, and yeah, you hurt her pretty badly. Okay. It is the other. It is Taras's turn. The creature who was Taras transforms, and he takes a 5-foot step, and he attacks Drakius. He slams at you with his clawed hands. First attack is an 18 to hit.
That hits flat-footed.
Okay. 4 points of damage. And swings again at you, lashes out. That's a natty 19. Is that a critical threat? No, it doesn't look like it. And that is 7 points of damage. Oof. And he attempts to grab you. That is a 16 against your CMD.
That is a... Let me just subtract my dexterity at this point. That is a miss.
Okay. So with your oiled-up swimmer's skin, you managed to wriggle free at the last moment.
You're supermodel bronzing.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell anyone it's a bronzer. It's natural, damn it.
All right. It is Alba's turn, and she lashes at Gavo.
I will parry this.
Ooh.
Okay.
Excellent.
That is an 8.
I parry with a 20.
Okay.
All right. So I do parry, and now...
I'm sorry. Awesome.
It's an 18. It's not a 20. And then you automatically miss, and I will riposte. So as an immediate action.
And you spend panache to riposte?
I spend panache to parry. And then if the parry is successful, then as long as I have one panache point, I can use an immediate action to make an attack.
Cool.
Okay, that is a 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
Yes, dude. This is like a free AOO. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, again, minimum damage, so 12 points of damage.
Okay. All right. Ugh. And it lets out a cry of pain. And it looked like it seems like it was already weak, even though it got this. You noticed, or Azura would have, with a perception, that they all seemed to get this burst of adrenaline. It almost seemed like this frenzy of joy at being able to revert to their natural forms. It seems like they're a little bit stronger for now. But even with that, she seems to be on her last appendages. And it is Colonel Luther's turn.
All right, so Colonel Luther's...
Wait, that's a second attack. She has a second attack. Natty 15.
Dang.
4 points of damage, and she will try to grab you. That's a 19 against your CMD.
That's a miss.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Now it is Colonel Luther's turn.
Now it is Colonel Luther's turn. All right, so Colonel Luther is standing like 10 feet behind Gavo and diagonally to the left of Drakeus behind him. He will step up right into the space between Drakeus and Gavo, drawing his cold iron heavy flail as he does, and he's like talking to Gavo and Drakeus, and he's like, yes, when the face of your allies become your enemies, the end is nigh. Feel the hate rising within you and use it, my friends. And he reaches out, touches Gavo and Drakeus, and casts rage on both of them.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
So that's you will awesome. Each get a +2 morale bonus to strength in con, a +1 morale bonus on will saves, but a -2 to AC. It's basically identical to Barbarian's Rage, except you're not fatigued at the end of it. So you can just add the adjustment of spell Rage on there, and it's going to last for as long as I concentrate, +1 round per level after that. So at least 6 rounds.
Wow. It's pretty cool. Okay. So you all are filled with this divine rage at the Colonel's touch. And I don't know if it stacks with the rage that you already felt towards everyone who lives in this colony, but we'll say that it does. And it is Drakeus' turn.
Drakeus was originally going to do another knowledge dungeoneering check, but now that he's filled with rage, I think that doesn't make any sense. He's got a bloodlust that can't be quenched. And because these faceless stalkers look so much like cocktail weenies, he's going to pull out his long spear as he 5 foot steps backwards with reach to strike out at the stalker in front of him.
Okay.
Here comes the long spear. 27 to hit.
Okay. Oh. You hit the creature that was once Taras.
Almost max damage on Taras for 23 points of damage.
Ooh, you got that bonus damage from Rage, right?
Yep.
Wow.
+1 bonus damage on that.
You skewered that weenie, still standing though.
That's a lot of HP, so that's good to know.
That is Drakeus's turn.
Okay. It is number 6's turn. He's standing way at the back by the thing that we assume is a tree. It comes like running up and sliding in front of Maya to attack Gavo.
Gavin's in a bad spot, man.
That is a 9 to hit. That's a miss.
That is a miss.
Okay, and it is Ramona's turn. She would have probably done Inspire Courage also, but seeing that the effect that Azura is having, she does not do it. So instead, she steps up pretty bravely. And you see her, like, from her belt, she has this machete that she holds at her belt. She's like, shing! And she draws it and runs up to the one that just attacked Gavo and swings at it. That is a hit.
We don't use enough machetes.
Yeah.
We need to be able to do a machete build.
It's really the first machete we've seen in the show. And that's really, like, a lot too few.
I know.
They're great in Dark Souls. They scale A with strength.
Well, it's multi-purpose for her, because as an explorer, someone who's living in a new colony, that's why she has a machete. So it's a cut-through underbrush, but it has can also occasionally cut through evil creatures. So, and it does, it nicks one of them for 2 points of damage.
Swing
and
harder.
She says, it's, what is happening? What are these creatures? And it is number five's turn.
I told you. I was very clear.
I thought you were going to say skid. It serves a double purpose for both to cut through foliage and to cut through red tape as an administrator.
A triple purpose. All right. It is number five's turn. He is standing at the back. He also like charges up to Drakus. Does that incurs, right? Coming from your...
Yeah, it leaves the threatened square, so it should.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's why you bring a reach weapon to a faceless stalker battle. That'll Fact. Be a total of a 23 to hit.
That is a hit.
Here comes damage. Max damage, 24 points of damage.
Oh, man. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yeah, you like stab it right through the gut where its organs would be if it had them.
Mm.
And it slams at you. 14 to hit. That is a miss, I presume.
It is, even with a reduction due to rage.
Wow, okay. And it is number four's turn. It comes out from beside the tree and steps up and strikes at Ramona. It's a 5-foot step, so it can do a full attack.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
First swing is a miss. Second swing is a miss.
Beautiful.
Okay, and then it is actually Maya's turn. So she steps around her to where her husband is.
So and weird.
Slides in front of him and tries to get an attack on the colonel.
That should provoke for me, I think.
No, she moved around.
She went the long way.
Went the long way around. Okay, so swings at the... Oh, natural 20.
Oh, that's not good.
And named.
That's
brutal.
Not good. Named.
Brutes Magoots.
Poop.
Faceless but not nameless.
I think this is technically a named character.
Yeah, I was just kidding. I wanted to get Troy sweating.
It's not. And it is not a confirmed fumble. That is a natty 5 on the...
Confirmed.
But it is exploding dice.
Exploding dice, yeah.
Misses the exploding dice, but it is 7 points of damage to the colonel.
Zoinks.
And that is, I believe, the end of the round. It is round two.
Good round, guys. Good round.
Good round. Good round. Jeez. All right, so, Skid, I can move a quarter of my speed. I mean, that means I can only really move 5 feet. As a move action. So does 5 feet get me to the top, or does that, because we said 12 feet, right? I can't remember. 10 to 12 feet. So does that get me up, or do I need to do a full action now to just finish off to get up
there? I think you, because you still had 10 feet to go.
Okay.
So,
I believe I said she did 7 and then, or I guess it was 5 before. So does she have 7 to go?
Yeah. So it's over 5.
Okay, so technically, so she's going to have to
double move to get to the roof.
Okay, so I'm trying to decide if I should do that I'm just going to do that. I'm going to double move up onto the roof.
Okay. Azura clambers
and she's got a little
up.
Extra movement now, too, so she'll position herself on the roof a little bit.
Excellent. Okay, and it is Gavel's turn.
Okay, Gava will take a swing at the stalker he was attacking, which I believe was Alba.
It was Alba.
That's this one I'm pinging on the map, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. Not a great roll. Natural 3. That is an 18 to hit.
That's a hit.
Whew. Beautiful.
Okay, 13 points of damage. Again, minimum damage.
Okay, go ahead and, if you can, describe your kill.
Okay, so Gavel is just going to, feeling the rage flowing through him, is just going to cut, like, flip the cutlass up in the air and then bring it down and cut her head right off, her swirling, featureless head right off.
Bubble man, it just rolls around in the dust. And, it is dead.
And she then I would gone. Like to do. I would like to use acrobatics to tumble through these threatened squares, not through an enemy space, but just through this threatened square, and then arrive at this square to kind of maybe get a little flanking action on couple of these.
Okay.
And I will spend a point of panache to add a d6 with the Daring Do feat. And these are exploding d6s, so if I roll a 6, it gets rolled again.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I didn't roll a 6, but I did roll a natural 17, so that is a 29 acrobatics to move through this threatened square.
Yeah, oh yeah, that'll do.
All right, so Gabbo decapitates...
Oh, sorry, but you have to... Sorry, teacher, but you have to move through the one you're in, too. So if you want to end up here, then you have to move through two threatened squares. The one you're in... And the one you were talking about.
So right? I need a second roll, is what you're saying?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That is fine. I'll roll again.
Sounds like you'll get it.
Matthew will allow it.
That is a 24 acrobatics.
That is successful as well.
Boom.
Okay. So boom. Gabbo just Shaka. Decapitates the first stalker, and then, again, fueled by the rage the colonel has injected into him, he's just going to do a round off. And end up behind
round up.
These Amazing. Guys, and now he is flanking with Alba.
With Ramona.
Okay.
You're on the side of the skinwalkers!
Whatever they're called, the faceless stalkers.
Jada!
Kill him! Okay, that's so Errol Flynn. I just love that. It's just like, you just boom, cut the guy's head off and like somersault through and like, ha-ha! Great.
We could really use this for good because we can get rid of Ramona and Gabbo. Yes, sadly, Gabbo was a faceless stalker as well. We decapitated him before he turned.
Man, I fucking love Gabbo now. Like, the thing is, he's getting so effective. Like, he's just so awesome now.
It's he is good at what he does.
Yeah. Swashbucklers are no joke.
And it's, you know, really... what? People really like him. He's very charismatic.
Yeah.
He is charismatic.
Got to come over to the Gabbo side of the table.
And he uses his head as bait.
All right, it is Taras's turn. The creature that was once Taras. It does a 5-foot step up towards Drakeus and swings at him.
Do I smell a certain way? Do they all have to come after Drakeus?
You smell of the sea.
I don't know. They took a dislike to you. That's a 19 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay. Ooh, 8 points of damage.
Ouch.
Oh. And attack a second time with its left arm. Natural 20.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no. He's turning it around now.
Does not confirm.
Get those 20s.
Another 7 points of damage.
Ugh.
And it attempts to grab you. Oh, that might do it. That is a 27 against your CMD.
That'll do it.
Okay.
Even if they count as humans, which I don't think they do, it wouldn't be enough of a bonus.
Yeah, that is you are grabbed, like puts you in a headlock. It's like, and you can see these teeth start to form out of the shapeless mass in its head. It's like a ring of lamprey-like teeth as it prepares to suck your blood.
That's good.
All right, and it is Luther's turn.
All right, Colonel Luther, seeing this horribleness happen, I'll take a 5-foot step back. And then this creature that's sort of standing in the middle, I can't remember who that was, but it's the one that attacked me.
That was Maya. That was Taras's wife.
He looks at her and says, Maya, or whatever you are, I feel your pain. And he casts a spell. Roll a will save.
A will save? All right. Wills are actually somewhat weakened right now, I'll let you know. That is a 14.
That is a fail. He casts a spell known as Shared Sacrifice on this creature. So, basically, if Luther takes any hit point damage or any hit point damage from special abilities like Bleed, this creature will take half of it, and Luther will only take half.
Oh, cool.
So okay. half of the damage is redirected on this creature, and then Luther only takes half damage.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty cool. So, like this... energy descends around it, penetrates its being, but it probably doesn't know exactly what you did, so it's going to keep behaving the way it normally would.
Necromantic energy.
Do you want to move at all?
Luke? I took a 5-foot step to avoid having to...
Oh, you did. Okay.
Cast defensively.
All right. Okay, and it is Drakeus' turn. You are currently being confronted by two of these faceless stalkers.
These lamprey teeth coming out of the side of this otherwise featureless flesh are freaking Drakeus out, and he has no choice but to use a standard action to attempt to break free from the grapple. Here it comes. Not a bad roll, but we'll see how it rolls out. 24.
Yes, that is successful.
Nice, dude.
Boom.
And now I have a move action, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? To avoid getting attacked four times, well, I'd be attacked twice now. I'm trying to think of the best way to deal with this. I'll take a 5-foot step diagonally behind Colonel Luther, I suppose.
Yeah, that's good, because now you would get attacks of opportunity on... But do you have combat reflexes, too?
I do not have combat reflexes currently. Oh, okay. I do, actually. I have two attacks of opportunity around.
Oh,
I
did it. Okay.
So, yeah,
so you'd get attacks of opportunity on both of them if they decided to come after you still. So
yeah, that's and it was also like not wanting them to be able to get four full attacks off on me. But I really, what I wanted to do was run away and suck on my thumb in bed. So
right.
That's his turn.
Okay, it is Faceless Stalker number 6's turn. It turns on Gavo as he somersaulted behind it and swings at him. Oh, natty 18. 4 points of damage.
Okay.
Swings again and misses. And he will take a 5-foot step to get closer to Maya and get out of that flanking situation that he was in. All right, it is Ramona's turn. Ramona also takes a 5-foot step to try to get into better flanking position, possibly, and she swings again with her machete. Natural 20.
Oh, there, yeah,
there
Ramona.
You go, Ramona!
Skid, you're on fire.
Unconfirmed, though, unfortunately.
Oh, Ramona. Aww. Let us down again, Ramona.
It's a lukewarm fire.
4 points of damage.
Oh, what?
To number 6 here.
Well, she would have Inspire Courage.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
So it should be at least 6. Or I would
that's 6 points of damage. Okay, great.
There you go, Ramona Quimby.
Yeah.
tribute to the fairy. Sadly lost.
Oh, recently. Sadly departed. I loved those books when I was
I did too. Ralph S. Mouse.
Okay. That was Ramona, and it is number 5's turn. It does exactly what you thought it might do, and it takes a 5-foot step. Take a 5-foot step, so we'll not incur. So it steps up to Drakeus.
Oh, these smart faceless stalkers. These beautiful tacticians.
These
natural
ones.
Ooh, maybe. Fumble.
Wow.
But does not confirm the fumble.
Does not confirm.
Man.
Second attack.
Ups and downs in this.
Can you commit to a roll, Skid? Can you confirm a crit or a fumble once?
I haven't confirmed anything. I've made so many interesting rolls, none of which have been followed up by anything interesting. Or
I never would have matriculated through Catholic school without being confirmed. Anyway, sorry.
That is 4 points of damage, and it will also attempt to grab you.
Ugh.
22 in your CMD. Okay.
Miss by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
All right. Very good.
Lucky, of which I have very little. Lucky.
That's true. All right. It is number 4's turn. And number 4 is going to step up on the mayor. Going to try to decapitate the head of government.
I think I can safely say we're all rooting for number 4.
See, Grant, maybe we all are a little more evolved in our political thinking, and we don't need our political opponents to die to defeat them.
That sounds like a loser talking to me.
God, no love for the. It is kind of a tradition, though. That's one of the things in baseball. Anytime any politician will throw out a pitch in an opening day game, they will always get booed, no matter who they are. Abraham Lincoln could emerge from the grave and throw out the first pitch of the White Sox, and he would get booed. That is a miss on Ramona. And second attack is another miss. Okay, that is number four. Okay, it is number... It is Maya's turn. She has the spell on her, but unknowingly she steps up to the colonel to attack him again. Swings with a 19 to hit.
It's exactly.
Okay. Ooh, max damage. 8 points of damage.
Perfect. So she'll take 4 and I'll take 4.
Okay.
So she's like, ah!
All right, she was untouched so far. She's like, ah! And when she feels that pain, there is this, what would be a look of confusion if she had any features on her face. And she, yeah, she took a 5-foot step. She just stops. She stops attacking him.
Okay. That's cool.
It is... All right, that is the end of the round. It is round 3. It is Azura's turn. Azura on the roof. If I were a rich man.
Like yes. An Azura on the roof.
Sounds crazy, no?
She sets her feet, draws out her Greenwood shortbow, and is going to take a shot at one of the one that had attacked Drakeus previously, okay. That Taras. He broke out of the grapple of Taras, and she will take a shot. Okay. So draws the arrow back and pling, natural 19. Oh. It is not a critical threat, but it is going to be a hit, which is nice, and that's 6 points of damage.
Okay, pretty good. Chipping away, as they say. And it is Gavo's turn.
Okay. Gavo is going to take a slide and take a 5-foot step to flank the faceless stalker he was flanking before with Ramona.
Excellent.
And he will unleash a full attack with the cutlass on this stalker. Okay. First attack is a, again, natural 5, a 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
Spectacular.
And again, minimum damage, though now it's 14 points of damage with the rage.
Okay.
Beautiful.
And then second attack. Just missed the critical threat, but it is a hit with a 24.
Okay.
And that will be 16 points of damage.
Okay. Good sir, describe thy kill, please.
You're another one down.
Beautiful. So
he just takes a slide to his left, slashes up, rakes across his back, and then drives his cutlass through its center, and then the front of the sword pokes out, and Ramona just sees the sword emerge, and the creature looks down, and then falls dead.
Awesome. Amazing. Slides off your blade. This gore spurts all over Ramona's face. Man, you're really doing good work up here.
Seriously. You and Drakeus will have 4 rounds left. Well, Drakeus, you'll have 5 of the... Where I'm not concentrating on it, it'll just... die after 6 rounds.
So I've regained 2 panache points so far.
Excellent. All right, and it is the creature that was once Taras's turn. It takes the long way around and and will incur as it attempts to get a flanking position on Drakeus.
From the Drake. It incurs from the Drake.
Yep.
The artist formerly known as Taras releases a 3-CD album and has a weird new guitar. Here it comes. That'll be a 26 to hit.
That's a hit.
Here comes the damage. Pretty good, pretty good. 22 points of damage.
Oh, describe your kill, Aquaman.
Drakeus does a reverse pole vault with his long sphere as he gets right underneath where the rib cage would be for this creature and kind of chucks it over his shoulder and rinks the spear across its side, slashing it in half from the middle as its leg hit one house and its torso hits another.
Splat, splat. With this rage filling you, that's like, ah, yeah, just like tear it in half. I love that. That's great. Okay.
Amazing.
All right, so Taras is definitely no more. Okay, and that is, it is your turn, I believe. Oh, wait, is it Luther's? No, it's Luther's turn.
Yep.
Yeah, Luther's turn.
All right, I'm going to need a GM ruling on this. This is what the colonel wants to do.
Here
I want to take my cold iron flail.
Here we go.
I want to take my cold iron flail and smash myself with it.
Okay.
What do I? What AC do I need to just hit my own AC?
Yeah,
and your AC might be higher than theirs.
It probably is, but here's the thing. I won't have to bypass their DR. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they'll just automatically take half the damage I deliver.
This really feels like high-level tax evasion. I don't know if I like it.
This is the most Troy maneuver I've ever heard in my life.
It's the most Colonel Luther maneuver.
It is very Colonel Luther. I will bite off my hand to spite your face.
Smash
your hideous face.
In his own head.
I mean, I guess hit your own flat-footed AC.
Okay.
Just to bypass your armor.
See if I crit myself. No, I didn't. But I did hit with a 20 adjusted.
Okay. So where do you smash yourself?
Like right below my chin. I just smash myself with the chin. God, he spits blood.
Knock yourself out.
Spits blood out. And so it'll be 1d10 plus 5 damage. We're still inspired, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. All right. So that's 13 points of damage. So I'll take 6 of it, and the creature will take 6 of it.
Oh, man. Okay. And it just
where'd that extra point of damage go in the grand scheme of things?
Dracius.
No, it went to Colonel Luther. Clearly went to Colonel Luther.
Yeah. So it just, you see the Colonel, you all see him just smash himself right in his sternum with his mace.
Spits a tooth out.
Yeah, and this creature gets a similar sort of mark on its body as it appears out of nowhere, and it's reels back. Like, what the hell is going on? And do you move at all?
No, I'll stay right there.
Okay. Now it is Drakius's turn.
Drakius will ragefully take a diagonal step backwards in order to remain 10 feet away from the creature, because with standard reach weapons, you cannot attack foes adjacent to you. Creatures with reach can do whatever they want, but with a long pole arm, doesn't make sense. It's in the game. And appropriately, while rage-filled, will use his furious focus to enact a full attack action, no penalty on the first attack. Here it comes. Natural 2 for a 16 on the first attack.
That's a hit.
Oh, great. Wow. Not great damage. 18 points of damage.
Let's see. On number 5 there. Well, go ahead and describe your kill.
Drakius
him off.
Hits exactly in the center of his skull and pokes the head right off, and it flies into the window of, I would assume, a nursery for a young child that was recently born here, just forever scarring the mother and child nursing in that room, watching through the curtains at that moment. And yes. That's Drake's
young
turn.
Mother is rocking with her baby and in a singing her a gentle lullaby. She tends to lull her to sleep at dusk, and her reverie is shattered by a severed body part flying through the window and spraying blood all over the new baby's room. It's canon. Okay. So you're done then, I guess.
I'm done.
Okay. Good job. And it is Ramona's turn. She just swings again at the one that is attacking her. She hits with her machete. Oh, 9 points of damage. As she is filled with inspiration from the bard on the roof. And it's the first time that one has been hit, actually. And boom. Okay. And it is its turn, and so it takes revenge. It takes no part of the peaceful political process, instead striking at the heart of the mayor herself, and does 3 points of damage to Ramona. Strikes again. Misses. Damn. Can't get this attack off. Okay. Then it is... It is the other one's turn, and it reels back from the colonel, who is doing something really strange to it that doesn't understand, and does a 5-foot step back into Gavo's reach to try to attack him.
I will parry this.
Okay, first attack is an 18.
Okay, my first attack is also an 18.
Ooh!
Sparks fly!
Is that a roll-off? How does that work?
I'm just reading right now. I think the tie goes to you. If the swashbuckler's result is greater than the attacking creature's result, the creature's attack automatically misses. So no, okay. I do not parry.
All right, so it gets past your attempt to parry and does 5 points of damage on you.
All right.
Swings again and misses. God damn it. Okay, and that is the end of the round. There are only two of these creatures remaining, and it is Azura's turn.
Azura will end her performance, but everybody still has it because she has lingering performance. So I'm not going to continue using rounds of it. And she will attempt one more shot here at the creature that Colonel Luther had possessed. So this is going to be tough. It's in melee with Gavo, so taking a penalty here.
You do get the attacking from height bonus, though, right?
I think that's only melee, but I could be wrong.
No, I think that's range. It should be for range, too.
But. Okay, let's see if it's a tweener, and then I'll look it up. But all right, here we go. 22.
That's a hit.
The minus four. So, all right, and then she does... Oh, by the way, I also enact, I forgot to do it before, Arcane Strike as a swift action. And so that's going to be 8 points of damage.
Okay.
Nice.
And the former Maya is really feeling it. I'm going to call her Melian because she's a former Maya.
Azura, just a question. Does Azura want to roll a perception check about those four other faceless stalkers to the left side of the map?
Yeah, I was going to actually
Azura,
roll a perception.
Can you roll a perception check? See if that's an error.
It looked like they're in a soup line.
They're just waiting for bread.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm just placing them over there to keep track of them. They're not really there.
Oh. Okay.
That's a memorial wall.
Bluff check.
That's a memorial wall.
It's like Yankee Stadium going to the outfield. Okay, so that is your turn. And it's Gavo's turn.
Okay, Gavo is going to do a full attack action. He will first strike out against the creature. Oh, question. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is a deal breaker, but if I deal damage to this creature, will it deal damage to the colonel?
Is that how that works, that spell?
Is it only damage that you take, Troy?
No, it's only damage that I take.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay, yeah.
Any creature would deflect back onto this guy.
All right, I will swing first at the one that is under the effects of the spell. Natural one.
Oh, no.
Let me confirm the fumble.
Okay.
I don't think this is a fumble because that is a 25 to hit.
Yeah, not a confirmed fumble. Nothing has been confirmed.
All right, so then I'm forced
to
early
hours of a news story. A lot of unconfirmed reports.
Unconfirmed reports. All right, so then I'm going to change dice and use my second attack on the same guy. Okay. That is a 20 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay. And that will be 16 points of slashing damage.
Okay, go ahead and describe your kill.
There we go.
So Gavo just takes like a terrible swing and just misses, like totally whiffs it and spins himself around, but then finishes in a pirouette and then just slices it straight across its middle and cuts it in half, Darth Maul style.
Okay. There's so much gruesome body destruction happening. Limbs flying.
There'd be so much pressure PTSD after this battle.
The pressure
alone
to describe interesting kills is mounting over the course of this podcast.
I don't feel like they all have to be like John Woo style crazy, you know, samurai film. You could just say, I just kill him.
I just
you
want
him. Maya the...
you can always say, Joe, you've never killed a character. Why don't you describe this one?
Ghost Rider,
you've never
delegate.
Killed an enemy. Why don't you take this one for me? I'm exhausted.
Joe, ghost write your kills.
Yeah, Joe, come up with a boring way to kill this character, will you?
All right, so Maya,
I'll take
the former
a 5-foot
Maya,
step to my right,
goes off into the Undying Lands. And, okay, yes, Gavo, sorry.
Oh, so I'll take a 5-foot step to my right to get into melee with the final Faceless Stalker.
Okay. All right, and it is Luther's turn.
All right, tired of just doing fun stuff, I will try to just end this character's life. I'll zip around to flank with Gavo and just swing at it.
Okay.
Still charm because of lingering performance. So let's see here.
Come on, you got this. This is going to be huge amount.
23 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay, and it will be... Sorry. 8 points of damage.
Okay, not that's all of that goes through. Yeah.
Oh, shit, I forgot to do something.
But you do a little bit of damage there. Okay, and that's it for you, right?
That's it.
Okay, and it is Drakeus' turn.
Drakeus slides up into position, rounding the bases, rounding third base as he moves from the back of the battle up front into melee with Ramona, Colonel Luther, and Gavo. And he whips his spear around his head to kind of do a flavored trip. But he's really just slashing through the center of the body as he swings out one strong attack. Hits with a 25.
Yes, that is a hit.
And he does 18 points of damage to the faceless stalker.
Okay. It's still standing, but barely. Oh, it's looking weak. And it is Ramona's turn.
Can she finish it? Come on, Momo. Let's do this.
And she, like, screams out this crazy rage, like, born out of exhaustion and weeks of fear and stress. She's like, ah! And chops down at this thing with her machete and swings wildly and misses.
Oh, machete. Oh,
wait. Actually, no, she
might move
not.
Into flanking with Drakeus to get that bonus, too?
Yeah.
Ramona, use tactics!
Oh wait. No, she hits. She hits with the lingering performance bonus.
Excellent.
She
hits.
And she does 8 points of damage, chopping it right through what would have been its skull.
Yes.
As it falls across. And she looks around wildly and looking at all of you is just, what the fuck is going on?
Colonel, quick channel energy. 16 points of healing.
Wow.
Oh, wow. The new colonel.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That covers just about everybody. And you all. Yeah, Azura, make a perception check.
Yeah, I was just going to ask to do exactly that. Ooh, 31.
So, Azura, from your vantage point, standing atop this roof, you can hear this sounds of people crying out.
Like an attack on the village kind of thing?
Yeah, and it, like you hear like one like someone, like a woman screaming like a few streets over. And then you hear another one like in a completely different part of the colony. And you start looking around and you spot like different like clusters of people, and you'll see one or two of them like transform the way that you saw these people transform
descend
on the ones on the real humans, like that, and just start like tearing them apart, and these screams are happening. And you also look, you happen to cast your glance over towards the harbor as all this is happening, and you're swinging your vision around trying to take it all in, get a clearer picture.
What do her elf eyes see?
And you see a single-masted sloop pulling into the dock.
What? Excuse me?
Is it the sloop John B?
Maybe. We'll find out next episode.
No! No,
man! Sloop! Baby, sloop.
The I know, seriously. You got so many title options for next episode now. Look at that. You know, it's a try.
Oh, so much going on.
There's a lot.
Sloop.
Raiders. Raiders of the Lost Continent is a Glass Cannon Network production. The Glass Cannon is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Ruins of Azlant is copyright 2017. Ruins of Azlant and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.